At that point, and you mentioned all kinds of social activities, were there racial divisions? Or I know when I grew up in Bridgeport, just kids played with kids. Mm. It didn't matter what religion or anything.
Okay.
At that point in time, was it African Americans?
I got along good with everybody. Matter of fact, everybody in South End, we all got along good with it.
It was a multi-ethnic.
It was Syrians, Hungarians, Italians, Jewish people. And I went to school with all these kids right in Prospect. And one fellow, his father, he was Syrian. His father used to sell bananas. And that was on the corner of South Avenue and Main Street. That was in the 30s. And
at an outdoor stall or at a store?
No. The father had like a garage in the back.
Oh.
And they used to go right down to Water Street because the ships used to come in and bring in fruit and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his father used to sell the bananas. And one day the kid reached into a banana stalk to get a banana, and a banana spider bit him.
Yeah.
And he died.
And well, that's a terrible story.
That hurt us because we were all going to school together. Because him and I used to swap lunches. See, I used to have like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He didn't have it. He had something like a biscuit with some kind of I call it goo in it. But it tastes good. It was better than me and my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So we go to school and we swap. And every day in school, I would eat different foods because I would swap with all the other kids. They'd say, hey, Gene, you swapped with him yesterday. You're supposed to swap with me today. But see, the parents didn't know what we were doing. You know?
So it was like a taste of the world, actually.
Different
homes had different foods.
Right. All nationalities had different foods and everything. So we were eating everything. And then we used to go to what they call summer Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
On okay, the first summer Bible school was, we were living on Lee Avenue. And they had a big tent that was on the corner of State and Lee Avenue. And it was like a big circus tent. They used to have revival meetings there. Well, we were little kids. We used to go there and they'd give us little Bibles and everything. And then from there we went to summer Bible school over on Spruce Street. It was a big Russian church, and that was like what they call a temperance legion. And we used to go down there. The reason why we joined that was because they used to give us lollipops and our little candy sticks,
mm-hmm.
and teaching us things about the books of the Bible.
Yes.
And then from there we went on Warren Avenue, the First Presbyterian Church. Right now that church is out in Easton.
Yes.
Off the turnpike.
Yes.
Because I go there every Tuesday of those, the second Tuesday of every month with the Boy Scouts. We have our, what they call, round tables out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go there when it was on Warren Avenue for summer Bible school. And at the end of the month in July, we'd have a picnic. That would be out at Putnam Park where everybody would bring something,
mm-hmm.
and have a big round robin. And I still have my report cards from summer Bible school.
What years were you, do you recall?
32, 33. 34.
1932, 1933.
34. I got all our report cards.
You're
and
good.
We had a reunion in 1972, and they should bring all your mobilia. So I brought all report cards. Myself and my mother went. My cousins, they were there. My brother and sisters, they didn't go, but I have their report card when they used to go to summer Bible school. And it was very impressive. Everybody bringing their mobilia.
Yeah.
And the priest was telling us that he remembers that there was one boy when we were going to summer Bible school who recited the books of the Bible backwards. I couldn't even pronounce some of them frontwards, let alone backward. And see, he'd start with Revelation, third time, second time, first time, and then we'll go back up, And the way we learned the books of the Bible, it was like in a sing-song fashion, Genesis, Exodus, like that, with a little rhythm to it.
Sure.
And every time we learned any verse in the Bible, on our report card, they would put like a little star, or a little harp, or a little cross on it. And my card is full. And my brother was a crackerjack. His card is loaded with them.
And your brother's name is?
Edward. Edward Brickford, Jr.
So Edward Jr.
Yeah.
Yes.
He lives in the South End right now. He was one of the original Park City Giant Juniors in the baseball team. And like I said, I got all those report cards. Plus, I have some of my report cards when I was going to grammar schools. And my brother's, because my mother saved a lot of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she died, I went, you know, going through all the papers, I came across some of the whole report cards. And a lot of the letters that I had wrote during the Second World War, she had letters that my brother wrote.
Treasures.
During the Korean War, and I gave them to my brother. And my youngest brother, when he was going to boot training in Airborne, yeah, I had some of his letters and his hat. And I took and sent them to him in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Plus his...
And that brother's name is?
Joseph.
Joseph.
And his tassel, when he graduated from Bassett High School, you know, the tassel you have in the camp, I sent that to him. And, there's a few other papers. And my mother had one newspaper that I sent home from California, 1954, when I was in Japan. There was... the captation on it is 2,000 some odd servicemen returning from Japan and Korea. And my picture's way down on the bottom. It's soldiers and sailors.
Sure.
It shows a lot of them on the one whole page. It shows a lot of us on the ship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm way down on the bottom. My mother has a little arrow pointing to me, and it says Gene on the bottom. Now, this reunion in Tennessee for this aircraft control. ACNW, Aircraft Control and Warning Outfit, 511 that I was in, they're having another reunion. Now, I may not go because my wife wants to go to Florida. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to write to them because they already sent me a letter. I'm going to write to them, tell them that I have a copy of this California paper, California Tribune, 1954, that has pictures of some of the guys in the outfit when we came back to the States. I'm going to send it to them on loan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to send it in a tube, you know, so that I don't want to fold. It's been folded for close to 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got it hanging.
Yeah.
And if I could put maybe laminate it and then be able to roll it and put it in a tube.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that after the tape.
And send it. You know,
some suggestions, yeah.
They can send it
I'll
to
have
them,
some suggestions.
Then they would
that.
Send it back to me, you know. Because I had sent them, when I first got in touch with them, I got in touch with them, I was looking to, either the VFW magazine or the American Legion magazine were reunions, and I came down listening, oh, there's my old outfit. So I wrote to them, and one of the guys said, yeah, he remembered me. And he told me about they were having this reunion. I said, oh, gee, that's nice. And I said, well, I won't be able to make it. I said, but I can send you some pictures and things of some of the guys
sure.
in the outfit. So I went to my photo album, because I have four photo albums altogether. There was 1,500 pictures and clippings from 1939
wow.
up to 1954. And right now, one of the books is spaced out because I took a lot of the pictures out. And I gave them to the children, the grandchildren, of some of the guys that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is how your father looked when he was your age.
Sure.
And that's why a lot of pages, they're all missing. A lot of
mm-hmm.
pictures are out of it. But all my war pictures, they're all still there.
Let me interrupt for a moment, and we're going to come back to that, because I see we're running down on some tape. A couple of things. I see a question here about your and it's a nice segue because you just mentioned your wife. How long have you been married?
30.
You know all the other dates now, right
years.
Off the top of your head.
I think it's 34 years. I keep forgetting.
And your wife's name, first name?
Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Right.
And you met here in Bridgeport.
Right.
Dance hall or picnic? Church social.
She knew my cousin, and I met her through my cousin a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and we got married in the 50s. Mm-hmm. That was the 60s.
One other very quick question. Oh, I'm sorry, you married?
He got married in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Very quick question. Along the lines of labor and work, we've discussed the salary and the perks. You seem to really enjoy working with the cars, and that was very big part of your career. One other thing here, anything you have to comment about perhaps experiences with harassment or discrimination?
In the Navy there was discrimination.
Racial discrimination.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it was we had aboard ship, we had 5 Japanese prisoners aboard ship. And I had to bring some food down to them one day. And one of them said to me in English, "Why do you fight us?" And I just looked at him. And he said, "In Japan, we have one army, the Japanese army. We have one navy, the Japanese navy." He said, "But the United States has 2 armies, black army or white army, black navy or white navy." And I just looked at him. And one of the Marines who was standing guard, I says, "Hey, this guy speaks English." He said, "Get out of here." And I said, "Yeah." Because I told him, because when I look back at him, he says, "They don't believe you." And I just look like that. And then as the years went by, I keep thinking to myself, I said, that's what happened. That's why, you know, a lot of things happen, because somebody will be standing there because they're from another country or something, and they'll be standing there looking up in the air like this. They understand what you say, but they will not speak a word. They will listen. And that's what happened during the war. A lot of people would say things, and somebody else would hear it, and, you know, people act like they didn't understand English. They knew exactly everything you were saying. And this is how information got back to everybody else. Yeah. Now, they were hoping that if they ever got freed or something like that, that they would be able to communicate what the Marines or guards were talking about aboard ship.